though the more powerful gifted are obviously preferred.
How do you know all of that?
Elijah and Gabriel.
He loosened his hold on her when it seemed like she wasn't going to try popping out of the bath again, and he returned his arms to the edges of the tub, shifting slightly beneath her.
His grunt was one of discomfort,
his scent swelling until it was heavier than before.
They did a lot of research after what happened to you.
To me and to... She remembered the phone in her hand and glanced at the notification. Theodore has invited you to download a secure messaging app.
The hell?
Kian breathed, apparently also seeing it. She clicked on the link, and her phone began installing something automatically.
Ah, shit!
She tried clicking out of it, but Kian captured her wrist, his voice muttering silkily by her ear.
It's Elijah and Gabriel's app.
Oh. Why am I downloading it?
I would also like to find out.
The app prompted her to enter her phone number, and then she received another notification. Theodore Kane has invited you to a group chat. Kian stiffened behind her, and the bath suddenly felt very awkward, which was strange because it definitely should have started to feel awkward earlier. She accepted the invitation and then opened the group chat, staring at the single message on screen. Theodore.
We have a proposition for you.
She frowned, trying to see who the group members were, but she only encountered an error message. This feature is currently hidden. Kian leaned over the bath, dragging his pants toward him and digging into the pocket. His screen was full of notifications. She returned to her own phone, tapping out a message. Isabel.
What is it?
She felt it a few seconds before it happened, but only had time to thrash toward the edge of the bath before the world was shifting and reshaping around her. Her vision went blurry and then resettled, with her still in the bath. She was panting, curling into a ball with her arms hugging her knees.
What is it?
Kian rumbled, lightly tugging her wet hair from her face. Almost teleported, I think. I don't know. His phone started vibrating like crazy, and he reached over the side of the bath for it, cursing.
We should get out,
he said carefully.
Try not to look down at yourself.
Try not to look...
Oh, come on! What the hell?
He's inside my head? She stared at the wall, her brain threatening to explode, her voice pitching. My mate is inside my head?
Almost mates,
Kian corrected distractedly. Like there's more than one. She laughed nervously, even though she knew he meant that her mate and her were almost mates. Except he was quiet. And when she glanced up at him, he looked like he was biting his lip hard enough to draw blood.
There's more than one?
Isabel screeched, scrambling to find her feet. Kian handed her a towel, and she reached for it, her fingers trembling against the cold that sank immediately back into her bones. But she never grasped the towel, because the bathroom was gone in a flash of light, the tiled walls replaced with faded wallpaper and an old bronze hanging lamp. Big, rough hands steadied her, fierce gold eyes staring down at her. Except West's eyes weren't the same shade. One of them was yellow amber, like the eerie glare of a nocturnal creature, and the other was yellow gold with familiar, honeyed flecks. She started hyperventilating, and he immediately picked her up, sitting her on a stiff couch and pushing her head between her legs, his hand passing like a shadow over her spine, stroking so lightly she could barely feel it. But she did feel it, and it was comforting as hell. Warmth spread from his touch, igniting her blood, his vanilla scent tasting richer, headier than the last time she had scented him.
Breathe,
he reminded her, and she gulped that scent until her lungs were full, her head spinning in a bourbon-tasting haze.
You?
She choked out, disbelief and fear making her voice small. Of all the possibilities, West was the worst. He was, well, he was a lot like her father, to be honest. They didn't look alike, but West was the only alpha who was potent enough to rival Bron Carter.
Yes, he said after a moment. And all the others.
She whipped her head up fast enough to make the room spin. After blinking several times to clear her vision, she found herself only a few inches from West, who had crouched before her, his face lined in concern.
All the others?
She croaked faintly.
10 of us, to be exact.
He pushed her head back between her knees as the whole hyperventilating thing started up again. But it didn't seem to be enough this time. Even his alpha voice telling her to breathe couldn't make a dent, and she found herself tipping toward the floor, darkness spreading across her vision.
Kaylin, admin. She's here, in the Mojave settlement.
He stared at the Sigma laid out on his bed, debating for a moment before forcing his phone up to snap a quick picture.
They were going to want to see with their own eyes that she was okay.
Theodore.
What the fuck happened?
Well, mostly okay.
Kaylin, admin.
She fainted. All good, Kian?
Kian. Other than a terrified erection, yeah.
Killian.
Bro. WTF.
Kian. We were in the bath, asshole.
Oscar.
You're her assigned surrogate, fuckface, not her hired escort.
Kian.
They quite literally told me to get in the bath with her. Even changed her room to one with a bath, fuckface.
Killian.
It's weird, her father pimping her out. Why the terrified erection?
Kian.
I let slip that she has more than one mate. Cue terror. Dick still hasn't received the message. Would very much like the Sigma back.
West. Admin.
Doesn't look like she's coming back.
Elijah.
You're near enough to Ironside. It's, what, an hour's drive?
Kaylin. Admin.
I have permission to come and go between here and Ironside. I'll drive her back there once she's awake and I'll send her down the fire trail. This is a fucking disaster.
Gabriel.
Why did she faint?
Kaylin. Admin.
I was about to put in my contact, but I hadn't reached my room yet.
Elijah.
Fuck.
Theodore.
Fuck.
Kian.
Fuck.
Kaylin. Admin.
I told her she has 10 mates. She knows.
He set his phone aside while the expletives rolled in, pinching her delicate wrist between his fingers as he checked her pulse again. She was ice cold. He picked up the phone again and swiped out of the group chat, tapping on Elijah's contact. He put the phone on speaker, setting it onto the bed as he stalked to the wardrobe, pulling out all the extra blankets he had.
We're both here,
Elijah answered.
What is it? She's freezing,
Kaylin snapped, trying to tuck the blankets around her.
And shivering. Her lips are blue.
It shouldn't be that bad, especially if she was just with Kian.
Gabriel was the one to speak.
Maybe the side effects are twice as severe because there's so many of us. She's not having withdrawals from one of us being across the country. She's reacting to all the individual mates scattered to all corners. Just tell me what to do.
Kaylin growled,
biting back the urge to say, as long as it doesn't involve getting in the bath with her.
She needs skin-to-skin contact,
Elijah said.
Strip off to your underwear. We know she's basically already naked, even though you tried to cut off that part in your picture. We were in her head earlier.
Kaylin pushed his reservations aside, tearing off every layer except his boxers. He slid into the bed beside her, hauling her against his side as he wrapped his arms tightly around her.
Now what?
He asked.
Pile on blankets, so that your scent bakes into her,
Elijah instructed.
Kaylin kept her stuck to him with one arm as he reached for the blankets, hauling the layers over them. He tucked them carefully around her body, feeling her skin start to warm.
Anything else?
Yeah, Elijah drawled. Try not to make her pass out again the second she wakes up.
Massage her,
Gabriel said before Kaylin could bark at Elijah. Drown her in your scent as much as possible, especially where her veins are closest to the skin. Her wrists, forearms, temple, and neck.
Fucking fantastic, Kaylin ground out. This is exactly what I had planned for my Saturday evening. Scent marking a goddamn unconscious person.
Person, Gabriel snorted.
We already know who's in your bed, Kaylin. Maybe we should leave you to it. If you hang up right now, I'm going to put my fist so far through your face that I'll be able to tie your fucking shoelaces.
This got violent quickly, Elijah muttered before hanging up the call.
Kaylin resisted the urge to smash something, the restraint making his hands shake as he began to rub Carter's cold fingers. The furrowed lines on her brow eased, and he looked at her face for cues as he moved onto her forearms. The furrows returned. He brushed his thumbs across her temple, and her expression softened again, her breath less choppy. He used his body to roll her over, settling himself on top of her, though he was careful to prop himself up enough so as not to crush her with his weight. This freed one of his hands to stroke her temples, feathering touches across her forehead. She looked more like she was sleeping peacefully. The first woman to sleep in this bed, let alone step into his room. And that was when he remembered. The door downstairs clicked, announcing the arrival of his girlfriend.
Fuck!
He slipped out of the blankets, tucking them carefully around Carter, who immediately looked like she was in pain again. He swore, swiping up his phone and tapping out a quick message as he grabbed the box of contacts from his sock drawer and practically poked his eye out trying to shove one of them in. He flew down the stairs, meeting Josette in the hall where she was hanging up her coat.
Sorry I'm late.
She gave him a kiss, holding up a bag.
I ordered Italian from Gianna. I swear that lady's going to be the richest person in this damn settlement now that she can charge through the roof because of the commissary prices.
You're an angel.
He took the bag from her, leading her into the kitchen.
What did you need to talk about?
Well,
she sat at the small circular table as he began opening lunch boxes of pasta, smoothing her hands over his grandmother's favorite tablecloth, with a small frown on her red lips.
I figured this was the only way to get you to invite me into your house. This place is harder to get into than the settlement is to get out of.
She laughed at her own joke, but the sound tapered off when she saw the look on his face. He was annoyed. She immediately got up, moving behind him and winding her arms around his waist. His naked waist. Shit. She sniffed him.
You were about to have a shower? She asked suddenly. You smell kind of sweaty.
Because he was just trying to smother himself in blankets. Josette. He spun, pulling her hands away from his skin and holding them in his.
It's got nothing to do with you. I just don't...
Don't like people in your private space.
She rolled her eyes.
I know. But, like, why do you even need a private space?
Because I'm surrounded by cameras all day long.
He sharpened his voice.
But you don't need to make up an emergency if you really want to come over. You can just ask me.
What if you say no?
She pouted, blinking up at him.
I might, sometimes. Can you be okay with that?
She sighed, shrugging. He had been dating her for a year, and he was well acquainted with that look. Josette was the type of woman who believed, unfailingly, that she would always get her way eventually. It was why she was okay with dating someone who lived at Ironside and was away most of the year. It was why she let him sneak away from Ironside just to fuck her and leave again as soon as it was done. She was playing the long game. Well, that, and she also liked to be fucked.
His phone started ringing, and he pulled it to his ear.
Yes?
This is your fake emergency call. Elijah sounded bored.
Blah, blah, emergency, blah.
Is everything okay? Kaelin bit out.
Clearly not.
I'll be there in an hour. You're a terrible actor. You only have one tone. Angry.
Kaelin hung up, wincing at Josette's crestfallen face.
I'm sorry. They need me back at Ironside. I have to leave right away.
But it's late,
she protested. It was feeble. Josette was a hardcore loyalist. She got a real kick out of saying that she was dating an Ironside professor. She even had a framed picture of President Grant and the gifted Ambassador Brooks shaking hands and smiling victoriously hung up in her kitchen. It was precisely the reason he had chosen her to date. I'm sorry. He kissed her deeply enough to leave her breathless and giggling before he packed up the lunchboxes, ushered her to the door, and helped her back into her coat.
I'll call you tomorrow,
he said, closing the door after her. He locked it this time, and then immediately pulled out the contact, because his fucking eye was still stinging. Taking the stairs two at a time, he found Carter shivering. He pulled back the covers and carefully positioned his body over hers again, trying to soothe back those lines of distress on her face. She softened, melting beneath him, and he felt a flush of heat spear through him that definitely wasn't appropriate. He dipped his nose to her temple, pulling in a breath. His scent was all over her. Rich, boozy, cherry vanilla hitting him hard. He felt a groan building up in his chest and quickly tamped down his reaction, easing to her side so that his hips weren't resting over her soft thighs anymore. He absently traced his fingers over her neck, leaning forward to sniff her again every now and then. It was like micro-dosing on the most dangerous drug. He didn't even realize how high he was getting until his stroking of her neck had turned into a tight grip, moving her face to the side so that it could brush his nose up along the pale, addictive line of her throat. He pulled back, closing his eyes and laying one arm heavily across her as he stared at the ceiling. Should he break up with Josette? He had absolutely no intention of acting on the half-formed bond. It seemed wrong. His reaction to the Sigma was painfully strong. It was also completely illegal and thoroughly fucked up.
Chapter 17. Low Blows and Sharp Shots. The first thing Isabel became aware of was blazing, tingling heat. It soaked her head to toe in sweet vanilla liqueur, making her blood sizzle and her head swim. The room was pitch black, and there was a body beside her. She brushed her nose across warm skin, her head struggling to clear as she climbed closer to the source of the delicious aroma. The body was warm and big. And everywhere she touched, the skin beneath her fingertips lit up, the very tops of her fingers doused in a golden glow. She traced patterns of light, her breath catching as tingles exploded throughout her body. The chest beneath her was vibrating, scattering the light into puffs of sparkles beneath his skin that twinkled into nothing. She pressed down harder, bringing the light back, and traced up to his neck, skirting rough black stubble decorating a fierce jaw and tunneling her hands into silky short black hair. The chest vibrated harder, and the thick thigh she had been straddling shifted up, big hands grasping her hips. He began to lift her away, but she clamped her thighs, holding onto his leg as she sank her teeth into his neck in punishment. The sparkles lit up her mouth, and those big hands pressed her down again, grinding her onto his hard thigh. She whimpered, withdrawing her teeth, and kissed across his hard jaw until she was staring into mismatched eyes circled by a swollen alpha ring, pupils blown out. West. As in Kalen West. As in Professor Kalen West. Her memories rushed back in a vicious assault, the sparkles beneath her touch dying instantly.
Oh my God.
She breathed, swaying.
Do not faint again.
He growled in alpha voice.
Especially if you're going to wake up in that state again.
Oh my God!
She wailed, scrambling to get off him. She tripped over a small mountain of blankets that decided to come off the bed with her, almost face-planting into a wardrobe.
I'm so sorry, Professor.
He winced. With moonlight slanting in a perfect spotlight over his expression, she could see the utter misery written all over his face.
Just call me Kalen in private. It'll make things easier.
Because he was her mate. Look, I don't think... She backed up until she hit the wardrobe again, holding her hands out in front of her. The tremble was gone, a contented warmth snuggled deep down inside her. Weird.
I don't think I could ever...
Carter, calm down.
Isabel.
Isabel.
He scrubbed a hand down his face, and that was when she realized he was almost naked. Or was naked. It was hard to tell with the blanket twisted over his lap.
I won't be completing the bond. Ever. None of us will.
Oh. Her brows pinched in. She wasn't sure how to feel about that. Relieved? Rejected? Suspicious?
Definitely suspicious. Theodore was just about to propose a deal before you teleported.
He flicked the blanket back, flashing a pair of boxers as he grabbed for his clothes on the floor and started pulling them on. He was powerfully built, the breadth of his chest impressive, each sinewy muscle shaped to perfection. Even the chiseled ridges of his upper abs and obliques were cut sharply. But maybe that wasn't an appropriate thing for her to notice.
He was going to tell you who your mates were if you promised never to reveal us to the officials.
West continued, oblivious to her ogling.
Can we make that deal now?
She frowned. I don't like the alternative. Either this has never happened before and we become the control group of a new OGGB experiment, or it has happened before, and I don't want to know why all of those people have disappeared.
Precisely.
He purred out the word like he was complimenting her, and for some reason, it made her want to climb all over him again. She frowned harder, crossing her arms over her chest.
Do you have, a shirt, or...
He was already reaching past her, dragging a coat from his closet. He held it out for her, and she shyly slipped her arms into the sleeves, holding her breath as he secured the buttons with fast, blunt touches. He pulled out a pair of black socks that were long enough on her that they disappeared beneath the hem of the coat, and then he grabbed a box of contacts from that same sock drawer, covering up his honey gold eye.
So, we have a deal, then?
He asked, stepping back from her.
Nobody ever finds out about this. And we never act on it.
She chewed her lip. Nobody should ever find out about it.
And you won't act on it.
She closed her eyes, shaking her head.
For now.
He rumbled with a growl.
Isabel.
No. She held up her hand. You can't force me to do anything. I have no idea what I'm going to feel like in the future.
You can't. Don't you understand?
He gripped her chin lightly, turning her eyes up to his. After whatever weird bond-mate skin-on-skin thing he had done to get rid of her sickness, he seemed to be considerably more at ease with touching her.
You have 10 alpha mates. Choose one of them, only if you want to watch the boy you love being torn apart by the rest of them. Us. It has to be this way.
He pulled up the hood of the coat he had dressed her in, tucking all of her hair away.
We have to drive back to Ironside. It's about an hour from here. We'll hike to the fire trail from the outside, and you can say you teleported back there. Okay?
She nodded, following him through the lovely old house that was a lot bigger than the Kane's home or Sato's hut. It just didn't really look like Kaelin's style. The wallpaper was old, lace doilies covering faded, hand-carved furniture, and a big piano sitting on the second landing. "Do you live here by yourself?" she asked as they walked down the stairs.
"It was my grandmother's house."
He spun, facing her in the entryway and glancing toward the kitchen.
"Have you eaten today? Oscar said they aren't taking care of you on that fucking tour."
No. I haven't been feeling well." He had already turned his back, striding into the kitchen. She drifted to the doorway, watching as he poured out some juice. He pushed the cool glass into her hand.
"Drink."
She sipped it as he pulled out ingredients to make sandwiches. Salad, cheese, meat. She made a soft sound, and he looked down at the sliced ham he had just pulled from the fridge.
"No meat."
She shook her head. He tossed it back and then got to work on the sandwiches, his deep voice rolling through the kitchen.
"My grandmother was Scylla Carpenter."
"The alpha icon who gave up everything to live in the settlements?" Isabel drifted another few steps into the kitchen, her eyes wide as she continued sipping the juice. It was sweet and cool and exactly what she needed. Kaelin nodded.
"She taught me everything I know. She was a musical prodigy. She had perfect pitch and an eidetic memory."
"Wow. Are you a prodigy too?" He laughed, shaking his head.
"I have all of her knowledge, and none of her natural talent. Not like Theo."
"Is he a musical genius?" Kaelin wrapped the sandwich, fitting it into her coat pocket as he waited for her to finish the juice.
"He has more talent in his little finger than most people have in their wildest dreams. But no. The real genius is Elijah. He's the only one I didn't train. I didn't need to. He can play anything he hears, no matter the instrument."
"You taught them all?" He took her empty glass, setting it in his sink before leading her back to the entryway. Either he was avoiding her question, or he was in a hurry to get out of there because he didn't respond.
"Wait a few minutes and then walk out of the house. Follow the road straight ahead, all the way to the end. Don't stop and talk to anyone. Slip through the boom gate while I'm talking to the guards, and go to the fence on your left. It's dark enough that they won't see you in this coat. Walk down the road until you can't see the lights of the guardhouse anymore. I'll pick you up there."
"Okay." She swallowed, wishing she had her phone.
"You'll be okay,"
he promised, tugging the hood further around her face before flicking off all the lights and opening his door.
"See you soon."
She waited and then stepped outside, closing the door behind her. Kaelin lived at the far end of what looked to be the main road through the settlement. She was elevated on a small hill, just high enough to get an idea of the layout before she began hurrying down the road. She crossed her arms, hugging herself as she kept her head down, focused mostly on the socks that only looked like shoes from a distance. Still, it was probably better than borrowing shoes from Kaelin. She would look like a clown. At the other end of the road, a pair of headlights suddenly switched on, flooding over the guardhouse, drawing three men from within. They approached the vehicle and began chatting with the driver, their body language non-hostile. Isabel slipped beneath the boom gate and skirted off to the side, not daring to take a full breath until she was fully encased in shadow and nobody was shouting after her. She didn't pause, but kept going, kicking into a jog when she heard the sound of a car door slamming in the distance. She didn't stop until only the headlights of the car following her were visible. And then she turned to wait, stepping forward when it pulled over a few feet ahead of her. West leaned over the passenger side, opening the door and flinging it open.
"Hop in."
She slid into the seat, quickly buckling up, her breath rattling in her chest. Her ribs ached worse than ever.
"Eat your sandwich,"
he said, flicking her a look.
"And unbutton that coat. You're sweating."
"You're so bossy." She shrugged open the coat and pulled out the sandwich. He waited until she had finished all of it before he dropped his phone into her lap.
"Please text the others to let them know you're fine. They won't fucking leave me alone. Use the group Theo invited you to."
"Okay." She clicked on the familiar app, staring at the list of messages. "Which group is that?"
"It's called Carter."
She clicked on the correct group, trying not to read the other messages. "Kaylin. Hello. It's Isabel." "Elijah."
"Good. You're alive."
"Gabriel."
"How was the cuddle?"
"Theodore."
"What cuddle?"
She clicked on Kaylin's profile, changing his screen name to her own. "Isabel." "How do you know about that?" "Gabriel."
"Who do you think told him how to do it?"
"Theodore."
"What? Cuddle?"
"Kian."
"Calm down, psycho. She was almost hyperthermic. It's a bond thing."
"Killian."
"Great. Kian and Kaylin do bond things now." "What are they saying?"
Kaylin asked, wincing at the barrage of text message notifications. "Killian is sarcastically saying that it's great you and Kian do bond things now."
"I do not,"
he growled before softening his voice as much as he could.
"Relay that, please."
"Isabel. Kaylin said he does not do bond things." "Nico."
"Hey, Isabel. I'm glad you're okay."
"Isabel." "Hey, Nico." "Kaylin."
Dot, dot, dot.
"Elijah."
Dot, dot, dot.
"Theodore."
"Wow. Two stones walk into a bar."
"Isabel."
"Shut up."
"Theodore."
"You're an adorable stone."
"Oscar."
"Let's revisit the cuddling discussion."
"Kaylin."
"Give us details, baby."
"Isabel."
"Why?"
She frowned down at the screen. "Oscar."
"Not every day I get leverage over Kaylin."
"Kaylin."
"I just like details. I'm a detail-oriented guy."
"Isabel." "This is weird." "Easton."
"Thank you for letting us know you're okay, Isabel. Have you had a discussion with Kaylin?"
"Isabel."
"Yes."
"Kaylin."
"While you were cuddling?"
"Isabel."
"No."
"Elijah."
Dot, dot, dot.
"Gabriel."
Dot, dot, dot.
"Theodore."
"Is there anything you want to ask us, sweetheart?"
"Isabel." "Isabel."
"No."
"Kian."
Dot, dot, dot.
"Kaylin."
"Aw, baby stone."
"Easton."
"I know it's awkward, but are we in agreement about this remaining a secret?"
"Isabel." "I won't tell anyone. We can pretend it didn't happen." "Kian."
"Easy enough with us all living close to each other, but the longer we prolong it, the worse the side effects will get. Specifically, for you. And we won't be able to go home for the holidays unless one of us is with you. That's pretty obvious now."
"Isabel."
"Okay."
She sucked in a breath, gathering up all her courage.
"Isabel. Will you still be my surrogate, Kian?"
"Oscar."
"Fucking hell."
"Moses."
"See? It's already starting."
"Kian."
"Of course, doll. But it can't always be me. You might form an attachment to me."
Isabel. No danger of that.
Kian. Wow.
Moses. Isabel. Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I just don't want to belong to anybody, especially not an alpha. I have things I don't think I could ever get over.
Easton. Understood. Say no more. Is anyone else available to help ease the side effects if needed? It's better for Isabel to know who she can turn to without making people uncomfortable.
Killian.
I'm available.
Theodore.
I'll be mad if you don't.
Gabriel.
You can come to me if the others aren't available.
Elijah.
I'm out for now, but available to talk anyone through it or in an emergency.
Nico.
Sorry, Isabel, but count me out.
Isabel. Please don't be sorry.
Moses.
Try not to take this personally, but hard pass.
Isabel. You, on the other hand, should be a little bit sorry.
Oscar.
Come to me, if you dare.
Elijah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Gabriel.
That's disturbing.
Theodore.
Highly disturbing.
Isabel. Thank you for offering Killian, Theo, and Gabriel.
Oscar.
How pointed.
Elijah.
Technically, I also offered.
Isabel.
Technically, thank you too.
Oscar.
Ignore me one more time, Carter.
Isabel.
Thank you, Sato, for your scary invitation.
Killian.
So, about the cuddling.
Easton.
Make another group. Some of us don't need to read this.
A few seconds later, a new notification popped up. Killian has invited you to a group, everyone except Mickey. She snorted, clicking on it. Killian.
Tell us.
Moses.
Did he pop a stiffy?
Kian.
Let's not bring stiffies into this conversation.
Moses.
Did you pop a stiffy?
Isabel. Kian did, and Kaelin, I don't remember.
Elijah.
Isabel. You weren't actually supposed to answer that question.
Killian.
But I'm so glad you did. I'm dead.
Moses.
I was going to remove myself from this group. Now I think I'll stay.
Isabel. Shit. I'm sorry. Killian.
Don't be. Kian always has a stiffy.
Theodore.
Weird thing to claim about someone.
Killian.
Have you met him?
Kian.
You're mistaking size for rigidity.
Killian.
Settle a debate for us, Isabel.
Isabel has left the group. She quickly reverted Kaelin's name to what it was before and handed him his phone back. He turned it off before slipping it into his pocket.
They're a lot, aren't they?
His eyes briefly drifted over her before facing the front again. I can't tell if they love each other or hate each other. They fight like...
brothers,
he supplied.
They're very close, especially Nico, Elijah, and Gabriel. They grew up together before Eli and Gabe transferred settlements. And Theo and Moses actually are brothers. Their teasing is just teasing. All of them would kill for each other.
She played with the sandwich wrapper as Kaelin fiddled with the radio dial. Whose head did I go into, back at Ironside? The guy who got the blackout text? He froze and then swore, swerving the car to avoid a pothole in the road he had been too distracted to see.
Maybe it's best if we don't talk about that.
Oh.
Oh. It was him.
Yikes. Yeah, okay. She turned to the window, her face flaming red, and they drove the rest of the way in silence. It was strangely comfortable, even though there was this gigantic, awkward thing hanging between them. Easton and West had both helped her to lay down some pretty solid boundaries,
and despite the bizarreness of the situation, she was feeling more at peace than she had since waking up and finding out that she was half-bonded. Nobody was trying to claim her or own her. They were acting like they could hide this, potentially forever. When they arrived at Ironside, Kalen turned off his headlights and maneuvered off the main road, taking the direction of the service road up the side of the mountain. They reached a gate with plenty of warning signs on it, but Kalen got out and unlocked it, pushing it wide.
"Special Ironside friends," he explained, getting back in the car.
"Must be nice to be an alpha," she muttered as they crawled the rest of the way up the rough road.
"You'll have us all beat for fame and influence after this whole mate-finder thing," he returned. "Your father is... smart."
Maybe it was Kalen's naturally gravelly voice, but it almost sounded like he was about to insult her father. He pulled the car over, lifting from his seat with far too much grace for a man his size, and then he was holding open her own door.
"You'll need to leave the coat."
She shrugged it the rest of the way off and also removed his socks before slipping out of the seat. He kept his eyes well above her bodysuit as he walked her over to where she could just make out the end of the fire trail through the desert shrubs.
"I wish I could give you some shoes."
He glared down at the uneven path, his voice rough.
"Will you be okay?"
"I'll be fine," she promised. She was lying, but luckily he didn't know that, and he left her with one last heavy look. The journey down was painful and punishing, and she was pretty sure one of her ankles was bleeding from accidentally kicking a cactus. She was limping when she finally got to the medical center, and they ushered her into a room to treat her feet as the triage nurse called her father. She was nodding off in her chair when the small gaggle of people walked into the room several hours later.
"You poor thing!"
Cooper reached her first, yanking open the blanket the nurses had given her like he needed to check her over for injuries or something. She quickly snapped the blanket closed again, standing with a slight wince to face her father.
"We can't adjust the schedule for any illness or injury,"
he told her calmly.
"So make use of Ashford in the time you have left."
She nodded, and they left the family center, returning to the same van that had taken them to the private airfield last time. It was a short flight, but she was still completely exhausted by the time she shuffled into her room. Kian was sitting on the bed, fiddling with his phone, his expression drawn. It eased when he looked her over, but only slightly, and his eyes narrowed when they landed on her bandaged feet. She shuffled to her bag, her limbs heavy. She hunted for her toiletries and pajamas until Kian huffed out a frustrated sound, taking over. He piled everything onto the bathroom counter, started the shower for her, and then paused in the doorway, giving her a skeptical look.
"Do you need help?"
"I'll be fine." She gave him a tight smile, closing the door before stripping off the hospital gown and her bodysuit. Kian had already turned out the lights when she emerged again, but his strangled sound hit her when she opened the door, flooding light into the room.
"What are you wearing, Isabel?"
She quickly switched off the bathroom light, stumbling her way over to the bed that they were apparently sharing. "Pajamas?" she mumbled, falling into the unoccupied side of the bed and letting out a deep sigh.
"Fuck, I hurt."
His face appeared above hers, shadows digging into his frown lines.
"Where?"
"Ribs, back, feet, everywhere. I'm so fucking tired."
"Wow, two fucks. You must be super tired."
She groaned, closing her eyes. His touch fluttered over her ribs, and her eyes flew open again, readjusting to stare at him.
"I've never seen pajamas like these in real life,"
he muttered, his touch still ghosting her ribs. The heat of the almost contact spread lower until she could feel it almost like an actual caress against the inch of skin between her tiny shorts and fitted, lace-edged tank. My father packed more of my clothes from home before the trip.
So, these are rich girl pajamas?
I guess. He rumbled out a sound, falling to his back, his chest swelling with a deep breath.
You felt my boner.
Abrupt change of topic? She stared at the ceiling, suddenly wide awake.
Not really.
He chuckled.
But if I'm going to be doing this skin-on-skin thing with you, there's a conversation we need to have first.
Do you want me to ignore it if it happens again?
Carter, you're killing me.
Sorry. What's the conversation?
You seem pretty innocent. Painfully blunt, but innocent.
That's probably accurate. He let out a laughing breath.
Yeah. I don't want to give you any mixed signals.
Tell me what a boner is supposed to mean, and I won't get any mixed signals. I didn't realize it was so nuanced.
It depends on the situation.
He was outright laughing at her now. She could tell by the tone of his voice, even though he was managing to hold back the actual laughter.
But in any situation with you, it means nothing, okay?
Okay. She shrugged, even though he probably couldn't see it. Can we sleep now?
Yeah, we can sleep. Come here. Get your skin.
He didn't wait for her to move, but tugged her half over his bare, muscled chest before dragging the blanket up to her arms, his hand landing over her head. She inched closer, already soothed by his heat, her eyes growing heavy. His free hand rubbed lightly along the middle of her back, brushing the small indentations of her spine through her thin shirt with his knuckles. His brushing touches dragged her under, and she woke up to the sound of someone banging on the door what felt like 10 minutes later. She groaned, throwing her arm over her eyes to block out the sudden light. Kian rolled away from her, pulling a pair of jeans up over his boxers before walking halfway to the door. He paused, glancing back at her. The banging continued.
Here.
He ducked back to his bag, pulling out one of his shirts and tugging it over her head. She grumbled out an incoherent sound, still half asleep, as he pushed off the bed and unlocked the door, letting in the stream of people that made up her styling team. They dressed her and did her makeup while chatting with each other. Kian cocked a brow from the armchair he had parked himself in, sharing a look with her as they discussed, with each other, not with her, the fading bruises on her face and the new injuries they would have to cover up on her feet.
You know they're talking about adding another surrogate mate?
One of the makeup artists whispered.
What?
Isabel asked, glancing between her and Serena, who the other woman had been talking to.
Just because of your little teleporting thing, Serena said,
patting Isabel's hand.
It's going to really disrupt the schedule if that keeps happening.
They dressed her in another nature-inspired dress, with another pair of annoying heels, and then they were packing her into another jeep to travel to the San Juan settlement. Kian pressed in beside her.
Instructions are to stand behind her, not beside her,
one of the cameramen told Kian.
We want people to know you're acting as her surrogate mate, but we don't want you to intimidate them. They need to see her as available.
She does a great job of that,
Kian returned, his lips twitching.
Comes across as super available.
Isabel snorted. The cameraman gave him a funny look.
Yeah, right.
They arrived at the settlement, and the crew piled out first, leaving Isabel a single moment of calm and quiet before she stepped out to the sound of cheering. They began ushering her in the direction they wanted her while she smiled and waved at the crowd that had gathered to meet her. She was passing down the cordoned-off main street when the shots rang through the air. There was a short delay, and then people started screaming. Kian was there in a second, grabbing her wrist and tugging her in the opposite direction to the commotion. She could hear the officials and the crew shouting both of their names, but Kian just looked over his shoulder at her, eyes hard.
"Just run,"
he barked in alpha voice.
"We should hide,"
she shouted back, her throat catching on a sob, her body trying to fight against his order. She lost the fight, sprinting to keep up with him as he dragged her through the fleeing crowd and behind the very last building at the other end of the main road. They were tucked between the back of the building and the settlement boundary wall. People were still screaming, the shots still ringing out. She could hear sirens in the distance already. She held her hands over her ears, the tears falling freely. It didn't matter that Kian was watching her cry, as long as he was the only one. He tugged her to his chest, his arm wrapping around her shoulder. She wasn't sure how long he held her before he tugged one of her hands down.
"It's safe,"
he said gently.
"Is this a settlement thing?"
she asked, her throat raw from crying.
"No."
He sucked in a breath.
"This is new."
Chapter 18, Surrogate Number 2. Isabel and Kian were escorted back down the main street, past blood-stained drag marks through the dirt, and ambulances helping out the officials who had been injured, and the humans in fatigues who had been doing crowd control. They weren't touching the gifted. The gifted were being carried off on stretchers, an assembly line forming, leading to a building with a small crowd outside. Most of them seemed to be grieving instead of panicking. She felt numb as they corralled her into a waiting car, catching only a brief glimpse of her father, Cooper, and the rest of their team before one of the officials was urging her inside. She made it onto the plane, where her father gave her a grim nod before disappearing behind a curtain to talk to his crew. She and Kian sat in silence until her father came back out, sitting opposite them.
"I've been told that Oscar Sato inspires fear in people,"
he said, quickly adding,
"even though he's not allowed to actually fight, of course." "He scares the shit out of people,"
Kian confirmed. He didn't sound anywhere near as confused as Isabel felt. "Who was the shooter?" Her father spoke over her.
"And you?"
he barked, looking at her.
"Does the Sato kid scare the shit out of you? Could you put up with him being your second surrogate?"
She would have preferred Theodore or Killian, but she was starting to see where her father was going.
"I'm fine with Sato, but if I have a choice..."
He cut her off again.
"We'll arrange for him to meet us in Nevada. The shooter left some kind of manifesto. Something about icons being used to perpetuate a system of oppression. He was anti-loyalist scum. And now he's dead."
Braun stood, straightening his jacket. There was a blood splatter on his collar.
"The officials are going to tamp down on the celebrations in Nevada, Montana, and possibly Washington until they've upped the security. Sato's appearance should scare off any attempts aimed directly at you."
"Sato has a sister,"
Isabel rushed out before he could walk away.
"She's sick. She needs..."
He was walking off.
"Fucking asshole."
Kian watched him go with narrowed aquamarine eyes. Isabel swore, pulling out her phone and shakily navigating to the group chat, because she was too much of a chicken to message Sato privately.
"Isabel, I'm really sorry. I tried to stop him."
Kian glanced down at his phone and visibly cringed.
"They're going to think something happened to you,"
he said, his fingers flying across the screen.
"Kian, they're pulling you in as their second surrogate, Oscar."
"Oscar."
"Fucking why?"
"Kian,
there was a shooting in Colorado, at the settlement. I'm fine, Isabel is fine. So is her fuckwit of a father."
"Elijah."
"You know she's in this group, right?"
"Isabel,
He kind of is a fuckwit. Oscar.
Not kind of.
Killian.
Yeah, they're not exaggerating.
Gabriel.
People are starting to post about the shooting. I can see why they would want Oscar.
Isabel put her phone aside and pushed into the bathroom. She immediately fell to the toilet, throwing up violently. She could still hear the sounds of people screaming and the pop, pop, pop that seemed to bounce down the street after her. She struggled to her feet, washing her mouth out and then scrubbing away the smudged makeup on her face. Kian was leaning against the wall opposite the bathroom when she got out. He offered her a bottle of cold water, and she immediately pressed it to her forehead.
Thanks, she croaked.
He nodded.
Do you want to talk about it?
Heck no. She dropped her arm, the bottle hanging by her hip. She shook her head.
Do you?
He was staring at the floor, the hint of green in his eyes more prominent than usual. His thumb was rubbing across the tattoos on his hands, his expression vacant.
I'm worried about my family. The settlements have a very fragile ecosystem. Sometimes it feels like a stiff breeze can start a domino effect from Mojave all the way to Washington.
His fear was pressing so tightly to her chest that she had actually mistaken it for her own. She cracked herself open, allowing it to slip between her walls, flooding through in a steady stream until his shoulders were easing back and his forehead was crinkling in confusion.
Did you just...
He stared at her, his hands forming loose fists before relaxing again.
You didn't have to. You don't have to. That's not why I'm here.
I know. She fell back into her seat, turning to the window. He was there because he couldn't legally say no to the officials. Isabel was in the bathroom when Sato arrived. She could hear him through the door.
They expect all three of us to share a bed or something?
He didn't sound happy.
Why should he?
She sighed, bracing her hands against the sink as she sucked in a steadying breath. They were cramming Nevada, Montana, and Washington into the next day to make up for the temporary blip in the schedule, as Cooper had put it. The man was insane. Several people had been shot right in front of his face, and all he could talk about was how to spin it, how to use it for traction. She spun to the door, pulling it open and staring at the two boys inside her hotel room. Kian groaned, doing a quick sweep of her appearance before looking up at the ceiling. Sato had gone very still, his dark eyes flashing with a hint of something she couldn't quite make out.
What are you wearing?
He asked bluntly. Hello to you too, she responded haughtily, just as Kian replied,
Rich girl pajamas.
I didn't request you, she told Sato. This was out of my control.
I know.
He narrowed his eyes on the hem of her shorts, which were barely more than underwear because she hadn't expected to have people sleeping with her, before turning away from her with a tense sigh.
It's fucked up, what happened?
He dropped his bag onto a low table between two cozy armchairs, tugging it open to grab out a few things.
Mind if I shower?
Go ahead. She rubbed the back of her neck nervously, quickly skittering out of his way as he passed her. Kian had his lips quirked up, watching her in amusement. What should we do? She asked him, perching on one of the armchairs. I have no idea if I can sleep.
Me either.
He rubbed his eyes, falling into the armchair opposite.
Let's order food.
She popped up, wincing as her ribs screamed from the too fast movement. He glared at her, also rising to his feet.
You said you were feeling better,
he accused, his eyes tracing over her skin. It's not the bond,
She forced a quick smile, trying to sidestep him to get to the room service menu. He stepped into her path, and she collided with his chest, wincing again.
"Why do you keep doing that?"
He gestured to her face,
flinching like moving is causing you pain.
"Because it is." She rolled her eyes.
"Where? What happened?"
"I got the shit kicked out of me on the last day before break. I was pretty banged up. I've done a lot of running over the last 2 days, and I think it's made things worse. Happy now?" He actually looked like he wanted to commit violence, his alpha ring growing bright and gold. But he wrestled back his reaction until he looked almost impassive.
"I thought the bruises were from your father. Do you know their names?"
he asked quietly. "Yeah, I already reported them." Kian scoffed, shaking his head.
"Do you have a copy of the report?"
"Yes."
"Forward it to me."
"No." She crossed her arms over her chest. He pulled out his phone, calling someone while he kept his eyes locked on hers.
"Hey, Elijah."
His hand landed on her shoulder, holding her in place.
"I need you to pull a report."
Isabel quickly snatched the phone off him, fumbling to end the call before she slapped it into his chest. For some reason, Nico's slightly accusatory words were coming back to her, reminding her that it was her own job to look after herself, not theirs. Reed was triggered by bullying. Nico had made it sound like he wouldn't be able to tolerate bullying of any kind, even if it had nothing to do with him. "Why do you think you need to do something about this?" she asked Kian. His hand covered hers, but she wasn't releasing his phone yet.
"Who knows?"
he shrugged.
"Maybe because you called me a surrogate mate? Maybe because I'm a toxic dude who thinks you can't handle things yourself? Or maybe because I'm fucking terrified that next time one of us will be too close to you when someone permanently scars you?"
She deflated, her hand falling away from his phone. He caught it and then had the audacity to call Reed again.
"Yeah, sorry," he said. "I need you to pull the report Isabel made on the last day of term. Thanks."
He hung up, considering her quietly. "I thought it was specifically your mate who had to scar you," she asked, swallowing.
"It is, usually. But nothing about this is normal. We don't know if one person marking you completes the bond with all 10, or if you could mark yourself. We don't know anything. We need you to be careful."
"That explains all the weirdness the night we played clothesline." She scrubbed a hand across her ribcage before slipping past him, successfully this time, to pick up the room service menu.
"Yeah,"
he said, tone heavy with sarcasm.
"That's what all the tension was about. It had absolutely nothing to do with you rolling down your panties and slipping them into Gabriel's pocket."
"I feel bad about that," she admitted, looking up with a guilty expression. "He probably had to burn those pants."
"Only one way to find out."
Kian fell back into the armchair, texting on his phone. She looked through the menu, biting her lip. "What should I order?"
"Whatever you like. Mickey has us on a pretty strict diet, but Mickey isn't here right now."
"What's the diet for?" she asked absently, picking up the room phone.
"The muscles you're always drooling over," he quipped, making her drop the receiver.
She cursed beneath her breath, picking it up again and glaring at Kian, who only cocked a brow back at her in challenge.
Okay, he had a point.
"Is that weird? You guys are just very fit." He smirked.
"Some of the comments online can be a bit invasive. And just a heads up, Elijah, Gabriel, and Nico don't like to be fawned over. But you can pant over my muscles all you want, doll."
"Stop flirting with me. I don't pant."
"How about I keep flirting with you, and we see who's right about the other thing?"
The door to the bathroom opened, saving her from a response. Sato gave Kian an exasperated look, like he had heard some of their conversation.
Pizza okay?
She asked, glancing between them.
Who's paying?
Sato asked, looking at the menu in her hand. My father.
Rich girl pajamas and rich girl pizza.
Sato surveyed her for a breath.
Pick whatever you want. I'll eat it.
She hit the button to call for room service, ordering two of their gourmet pizzas.
Will that be all, Miss Carter?
The lady on the other end asked politely.
Yes, that's all.
Both boys looked up, shaking their heads.
Actually, one more, please. The pepperoni. Thank you.
She moved over to the corner they had set themselves up in, perching on the wide sill of the window between them, plucking her phone off the table.
You don't want to check that.
Sato looked like he was smirking on the inside, which wasn't a good sign. She clicked on the string of notifications, taking her to a group chat that didn't seem to include Kaelin or Easton. She flicked up to the first message. Kian.
Hey, Gabe. What did you do with Isabel's panties, you dirty dog?
Gabriel.
What do you think I did with them?
Theodore.
I think you pinned them to a special...